We don't yet know about specific plans from the new Education Secretary, Betsy DeVos. We do know DeVos has long championed a variety of school choice options, from vouchers for private schools to charter schools, which are publicly funded but privately managed. Denver, Colorado has had a citywide choice system in place for more than a decade. It's popular and generally gets high marks in terms of academic growth. But as NPR's Eric Westervelt reports from Denver, choice appears to be doing little to narrow achievement gaps by income and race.
In a sprawling school complex in the city's Westwood neighborhood, you'll find a kind of only-in-Denver scenario. Under one roof, four schools are in various stages of transition. A new elementary and middle school are here, both charters. They share the building with a legacy middle school that's being phased out for low performance, alongside what the city calls an innovation school, Kepner Beacon Middle, that's being phased in.
Hi, my name is Dimitrio, and this is the science class.
6 months ago, the sixth grader named Dimitrio spoke almost no English when he arrived here from El Paso, Texas.
What are you working on today? What's the
science class? We're learning about the solar system.
Is Pluto a planet or a star?
A star.
Dimitrio, in theory, could choose or choice into any school in the district through a lottery. But like half of all Denver students, his family chooses to stay in their neighborhood or boundary school. In this case, it's a new innovation school that offers its administrators charter-like autonomy to get around certain district and state rules. Kepner Beacon's not quite a charter, but not a traditionally run school either. It's a hybrid, and part of Denver's portfolio strategy to expand choice options and allow schools more freedom to experiment. The district then tries to replicate what's working well and, when needed, close what's not. Dan Walsh is Kepner Beacon's assistant principal.
To me, it's just a no-brainer. It's logic. You have to create competition, and if you're good at something, you should, you know, be rewarded for that. And if you're not good at it, you shouldn't be able to stay in your job.
In other cities, expanding choice has sparked bitter fights, especially over charters, which are publicly funded but privately managed. Critics say charters undermine neighborhood public schools. But while Denver has certainly had its battles, today the choice debate is far less heated here than elsewhere. Superintendent Tom Boesberg says that's partly because no matter what type, the focus is on quality and improvement.
What parents care about, do they have a great public school in their neighborhood that will serve their kid well? And if it's a district-run school, hallelujah. If it's a charter school, hallelujah.
The Denver strategy overall appears to be working. 10 years ago, the city was near the bottom of the state's cities in academic growth. Recently, it is ranked at or near the top. The city has also significantly cut the number of dropouts and boosted four-year graduation rates. But the sink-or-swim mentality doesn't sit well with all teachers.
Your education is a right, and I don't think that this sort of system of competition is necessarily appropriate.
Aaron Lohenkron teaches math at East, one of Denver's best high schools. It's a traditional district-run place. He says treating schools like free market startups has done little to ease significant equity gaps.
What we need to look at is choice for who and who are the winners and losers. And I think that when we really dive into that, it becomes really clear that it's the usual winners and the usual losers in that game.
Lohenkron rightly points out that while choice in Denver has steadily improved achievement and graduation rates, it has also widened the achievement gap by income and race. Van Scholes, head of the advocacy group A-Plus Colorado, says not enough low-income families here are exercising their choice because they may not have the car, gas, or time to ferry their child across town in ways wealthier parents do. So they get stuck in an average boundary school.
There's still a fair amount of inequity in terms of access to quality schools and programs, dependent on whether or not you're low income.
The city and district, Scholes says, can and should do more to figure out transportation solutions and set aside more slots for low-income students in better schools in higher-income areas. Otherwise, he says, Denver's popular choice experiment risks widening the chasm between rich and poor in the fastest-growing school district in the nation. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Denver.